What is up, Phoenix family? I'm Ross Cessna, your effervescent and omnipresent host. We're about to go on an esoteric and occult odyssey. This isn't the designer spirituality that is polluting pop culture, it's your opportunity to explore age-old wisdom in the raw. With no further delay, I present to you the Spiritual Phoenix Podcast. Welcome, everybody. We have Katie DeMar with us today. Katie, how are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm recovering from a sprained ankle, which is awesome.
Time to take it easy, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's the universe's way of putting me in my place. So we're having you on today to talk about curiosity, which is the topic for the month. And the first topic that you had wanted to talk about was finding a spirit ally, if I'm correct.
Correct, yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Okay, so a little bit about my background. I've been a practicing witch for 20 years, and I was also raised in the New Thought community. So I've had 30 plus years of doing like positive mind mechanics and law of attraction, that kind of stuff. And one thing that for the longest time that I believed, and I think many people who are new to magic believe, is that I have a team of spirit guides that are there to back me up. They sometimes send me some messages, but they're really only like 20 spirits. I don't really know who they are. They're there. They interact with me. They'll, you know, I'll see like 1111. Okay, I know that means something. And then, but I don't really know what it means. But it might be an omen. And then I just go about my day. So they're there, but they're not really, but I'm not really engaging with them. And they're not really engaging with me. And I hear that type of conversation come up sometimes within New Age communities. So I don't think that I'm the only one who had that perception or continues to have that perception. The shift for me occurred when I realized that there's this thing called ancestor magic, where everyone living, whether or not they realize it, have thousands and thousands and thousands of ancestors on both their maternal and paternal side that are there connected to them, connected to the living through blood and through spirit. And you might not know where their place and time of origin come from, especially if you're adopted or you were part of the descendant of genocide. But we all have them. And so it's, I think, behooving for people who are going to practice magic to take an opportunity to actually work with these spirits. If you know their place of origin, you can also study their folklore, because folklore is it's a way of telling stories but imbuing power within words and symbols, and spirits speak through symbols. So, for example, I have been working with my Irish ancestors, and I've just made this agreement with my ancestors on both my mom and my dad's side, that I want to use the symbolism of Irish folklore, because that's what I've studied the most. It's just the easiest for me to access. And so, for example, cows represent abundance in Irish folklore. So if I want to attract abundance, I'm going to use cow magic. But I think the main thing to start to realize is that even though you have a team of thousands of spirits that are here to back you up, or spirits that don't know that you want, you might be a good match to work with them. It could be a plant archetype, an animal archetype. It could be a deity from a pantheon. So like I work with the goddess and Saint Bridget. You have to be able to take the lead on establishing that relationship, because spirits are just like, working with spirits is just like working with a business partner, working with an artistic partner, working with a friend on just creating a good time. it's not a one person streak. So you have to be, you, the living, have to be the one to take the initiation and say, I'm ready to work with you, or I want to work with you. Let's try it out. So, yeah, that's basic, the basics of it. Like, I would say the step one is to make that decision and take that initiative, and then start making offerings to those spirits. And the offering could be a like foods that you knew that they liked in life, if it happens to be like a grandparent or whatnot. It could be foods that are associated within the folklore of the place of origin that you're studying as well. But it can also be, if you start to develop this relationship further, you'll begin, your heightened senses, your sixth sense, will start to open up automatically. Mm-hmm. The more you work with them, the more they will talk to you, and the more engaging and more active your magic will become. So that's, yeah, that's...
I like that concept. As far as like the developing the relationship thing, that makes a lot of sense. One of the things I'm like, you know, I'm in a 12-step program. One of the things that the gentleman who's like my mentor in that program talks about with me is establishing your connection with your higher power, and that you actively need to cultivate that relationship. Actually, step 11 in 12-step programs is literally about kind of what you had spoke about in there, and establishing that relationship by reaching out through, in that case, it's prayer and meditation. So prayer is like actively speaking to, and meditation is like listening to. And I think that that's really important in any kind of relationship, like you had touched on as well, that you have to take that action and not necessarily be passive in that interaction with whatever you're reaching out to. And in my personal practice, I have a statue of Hermanubis behind me, which is like an interesting little god. I found out about that one through Gordon White's Chaos Protocols. But like, in order to really work with that, one of the concepts is you have to develop that relationship by consistently going through this ritual and doing it, this extended version of it, seven times is what he suggests to really begin to establish that. But Hermanubis is actually a gatekeeper kind of the underworld and life after death. And then through working with him, he's supposed to help open up the door to connecting with your ancestors on a deeper level and reaching out to other people like that. And last year I had began working with him, and then I did like the rite of, I want to say it's St. Nicholas, who is actually like affiliated with dead. We think of like St. Nicholas's Christmas and all this stuff, but he has connections to like the dead and the underworld. I did a rite to him, and then I kind of began to tinker with ancestry magic. And one of the things that somebody, I forget who it was, actually, I think it was on Rune Soup as well. They kind of talked about going through and even asking your ancestors to help heal part of your ancestral line to get newer connections or better connections with other people and help you sort stuff out. So that's something that I've worked on, but kind of like I had said before we started recording, it's something I've fallen out of the practice of. So I've been shitty in that relationship. Like I've kind of left them hanging. So I might need to pick up the phone and have a conversation with them.
And I absolutely agree that working ancestral magic heals ancestral intergenerational trauma, because for myself, the trauma, the most trauma comes through my dad's side of the family, which is also the Irish side. And so I was always interested in Ireland. I studied Irish folklore and culture as an undergrad, and studied abroad in Ireland. And for some reason, though, it didn't really click to me that like that was really, I've been like storing up all of this like interest in Celtic prayer and magic and Celtic religion, both as pagan. It's pagan past, but then it's current folklore, but then also the complicated history of Christianity within it as well. But then it was really, it's like through working with my mentor, Ilva, that she was like, we'll go to the folklore. And the minute that happened, that's like that little switch flipped way up, like on, like completely bursting open, basically, because I turned to my ancestors, then I turned to, last year, I was working with the goddess, the Morrigan, who is a triple goddess, and she's a sovereignty goddess. And it was through working with her that I realized that I've spent too much time of my life just holding myself back. That, like, she, because she's a sovereignty goddess and a goddess of the land, that's what I was attracted to the most. But once when I'm sitting there and working with this energy, it's like, well, this is actually not what I need at all. Like, I might want this, but this is actually, I feel like I'm hoarding. And I realized that really the goddess that I've been supposed to be working with this entire time was Bridget, who is both a saint and a goddess of hearth fire, working with children and scholars, and I work at a history museum. I work in the education department of the history museum. They're associated with Imbolc, which is the first start of spring, which is on February 1st. And I was due on February 1st, but I was born on February 2nd on Groundhog's Day, which is also in America, the harbinger of spring as well. So it's just, it was so, and then that has just like exploded even further, but I don't think we're gonna have time to talk about all the spirits that I work with now. But it is that it's potent. And so while I choose not to have a relationship, let's say, with my dad and his family out of just personal safety and just healing, I can access that, those generations that are going even further back to where the healing can start to begin, and we can start pulling and releasing the trauma that has been building up for generations.
One of the things that I want to touch on now that you kind of brought up the whole goddess thing, I'm curious of your response to this. Do you find that like gods and goddesses are just kind of markers of energy, or that there's something more? Like, what's your take on what that would be in bringing that into your practice?
So one thing that I like about the folklore and just literary tradition of the Irish pantheon is that we have a group of beings called the Tuatha De Danann, and they are it's a little ambiguous about what they are. They can be gods and goddesses. They might also be fairies, but I'm not talking about Tinkerbell. I'm talking about just spirits that are supernatural spirits that exist beyond our perception. They're unseen, but they walk among us. They can be mean, they can be very kind, but they can also be mischievous and play tricks on you and shake you up a little bit. But they can also be ancestors that are just so old that they've now become something new. So they used to be human, they have an affinity towards humans, but they might not know what is the protocol for acting human. And so I sort of enjoy that ambiguity because there's a mystery to it a little bit. And I call myself the Gnostic witch, which means I do enjoy a little bit of that unknown element of what is this? And that constantly goes down into, well, the role of curiosity and exploration. But so I think, there's on step one, I think there's a God and goddesses are both gods and goddesses, very gendered terms. And I don't think when we're dealing with things beyond the human perception, gender plays a role. And I really like, one thing that really is like one of like my sticking points is when people tell me that like a certain herb has masculine energy or a certain stone has feminine energy. Like, to me, that's just projecting gender onto an inanimate object that is very human based. It's just very perception and very, we know that by people who exist and identify as transgendered or non-binary, that gender is something that's much more fluid than just man and woman. And if we just continue to contain that binary and impose it onto things that are far greater than our little ego minds can imagine, I think we're not allowing the whole spectrum of what could be allowed to come through and shift our perception of reality.
Okay.
So, what are they? I don't know. I think they're a form of spirits. I do believe that there's a difference between terrestrial energy and celestial energy. And I think that there can be deities within both spectrums, but I don't necessarily think that one is better than the other. I work with both celestial beings and terrestrial beings. So I would say the Tuatha De Danann are certainly terrestrial, as they are, there is that ambiguity of, are they ancestors that are so old that now they've become something new and they're still tied to the earth. But I also work with aeons like Sophia and Barbello out of the Gnostic cosmology as well.
Okay. I feel like you gave me a good answer for that. I don't know that there is any real answer that can ever clarify it, but I like what you said. I think that's a good perspective on it. I think that we're coming up to the end of the time that we have for this episode. One of the things that I wanted to ask you to do before, like as we close out, is what are like some quick actionable steps that people can take to begin to access this and kind of explore their curiosity? If somebody hadn't established the connection, what would you suggest them to do?
I think this is something that my mentor tells me all the time, and I think it is the absolute most important thing to do when you're doing magic, is to not expect spectacle. That we are taught by Hollywood to think that there should be like lights bursting or things should go flying through the air, or like what I thought of myself for a long time is that because I'm not clairvoyant, I'm not therefore psychic, which isn't true. Like we set ourselves up for a spectacle, to expect spectacle, but when we do that, we're shutting down the communication. Like we're like paying attention way over here when all of this activity is going on around us. So reach out, but then allow things to unfold. Don't set up any expectations for how things will unfold for you. And that's really hard to do. Like it's just going to take practice, and you'll probably feel weird. I felt weird like the first time I poured a cup of coffee and put it on my altar, or I poured some whiskey and put it on my altar. But then there was this one moment, I do remember this very clearly, where there was this visceral feeling just like deep within me saying, I don't want whiskey, I want vodka. I'm like, okay. Like it's not huge, you know, and Hollywood bursting, you know, things flying through the air, but it is this inner knowing, something came through, and maybe they just want some vodka. I'll pour them some vodka and let's see what goes on. So be curious, don't set any expectations, but then keep working at it and keep working and keep working and keep offering and keep going and going until eventually someone will come through.
Hmm. I think that's a really good perspective. This is the last thing I'll say on it, and then I'll give you like the last word. I've definitely noticed that things are more subtle, and you have to kind of, you definitely have to pull back, and there's lots of little nuances of interactions, but it isn't the Hollywood type thing like you were saying. That's been my experience. And a lot of the things are so personalized and subjective that it really, even talking about it largely to other people, the meaning of it breaks down, but that doesn't make it any less meaningful, which is one of the cool things about a lot of this stuff is it's about your own personal experience, at least in my experience, I should say. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'll give you the last word. I do want to say thank you for coming on real quick, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. So reach out to your spirits, like whether or not you want to do ancestors, if there's someone who is calling to you or you feel called to, try it out. Maybe just like with friendships, maybe you realize this is a great match, but maybe you realize, you know what, I need something more. And I thought I needed this, but I really need to go into a different direction. Like it's all about just faking it till you make it, basically. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Phoenix Podcast. If you've got a question you want answered, a topic you'd like discussed, or a guest you want to hear, check out the form in the show notes. Follow our social media for other great content.